It's very good to have you here with me today as we begin a new week together. January 2018 is nearly in the history books. On Thursday this week, we will hit February. And I always feel that we should take note at how quickly time passes in order that we may redeem the time and learn all that we can from each day. Redeeming time definitely holds true when we come to dig in deep with the Bible. There's so much to learn and so little time to do it. That's true on the one hand. On the other hand, most of us waste a lot of time doing other things that are of such little value. If we sat down and seriously evaluated how we spend 20 minutes here, another 30 minutes there, we would find that when we add it all together, there was precious time that could have been spent getting to know God better. These minutes that we have together each day are precious. And as you know, if you've been with us, we've been getting quite far down into the details of just one statement that a man named John the Baptist makes about Jesus Christ. It's found in the Bible's New Testament in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 29. It's also echoed in verse 36. Here's what John the Baptist's eyewitness testimony says of Jesus. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is a powerful, true statement, and it's worth all of the time and more that we're giving it. Believe me, whoever you are, you want to know this Jesus Christ who takes away sin, because each and every one of us are sinners. We're born sinners, and the devastating impact of our sin is that it separates us from God. Our sin must break the sweet relationship with God, because God cannot in any way be associated with sin. Sin does not come from God. God hates sin with every fiber of his being. God has cursed Satan because of sin. God has cursed men and women because of sin. Sin, as God sees it, must be punished and completely done away with. God is holy. Sin is what makes us unholy. And so, over the past few weeks, I've come alongside you, and we have looked at several questions concerning the nature of sin. As we reflect on John the Baptist's statement, what was part one is this: sin of the world. And sin is definitely of the world. Wherever there are people, there is sin. In fact, the whole creation aches and groans because of sin. And we do not have to do a great deal of research to know that sin is a painful reality. All you have to do is think about sin committed against you. It's very hard to admit to the sin in our own lives, but we have all felt the sting of someone else's sins, haven't we? That started in childhood when our parents and siblings and other relatives in the home sinned against us, and it's just kept on keeping on right into today. Abandonment, abuse, being lied to, stolen from, cheated, having your own good name slandered by somebody else in gossip, injustice, pressured into doing something you knew was wrong but did anyway. The list goes on and on. And to what do we attribute all of this? How is it we account for all that has been done to us and by us to others? Well, you and I both know that most people would rather blame anything and anyone other than put the onus of our troubles, hurt, and pain where it belongs, on sin, S-I-N, sin. Indeed, there is obviously the sin of the world, and we're going to come to part three of John the Baptist's statement, "Takes away," soon. And that'll be crucial to do because, listen, Jesus comes to take away sin. Oh yes, sin is dealt with. God intervenes and redeems people from sin by taking it away. And the people he takes sin away from are people who believe in this same Jesus that John the Baptist sees coming towards him in John chapter 1. So stick with me. We're coming to "Takes Away." But first we have to deal with part 2, Lamb of God. Why does John the Baptist call Jesus the Lamb of God? Here, I want to give you the big answer, and then I'm going to take you across the Bible to enhance our understanding here on God Is. My big answer is this. Jesus is the Lamb of God because God himself starts to deal with sin the very moment it enters the Garden of Eden, so that God can continue to live in right relationship with man and woman despite man and woman's sin. Let me give that to you again as we get cooking on a Monday. Jesus is the Lamb of God because God himself starts to deal with sin the very moment sin enters the Garden of Eden, so that God can continue to live in right relationship with man and woman despite man and woman's sin. Sin separates us from God. We've already seen how sin separated Adam and Eve from God. They were removed from the Garden of Eden because of it. They were cursed, and they were eventually put to physical death. Sin always results in death. To quote Romans chapter 6 and the first part of verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." Death is exactly what God said would happen if Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Read Genesis 2, verse 17 again. And as always, when God speaks, whatever he says is true. It happens just the way he says it will. And as God curses the sinner in physical life, so too God curses the sinner in physical death by sending sinners away from his presence forever. Remember, God cannot in any way be associated with sin, so he cannot welcome sin into heaven, and therefore he cannot welcome sinners there. Therefore, God separates the sinner from himself. The Bible describes that eternal separation as hell. H-E-L-L. Hell is very real. And so from that first sin in the garden we have looked at, hell, eternal, forever and forever separation from the living God, is where all sinners are going when they die. Unless God himself does something to change a sinner's eternal destiny. And so you might think you're already ahead of me and jump up by your radio and exclaim, he's going to say Jesus. God sent Jesus. I just know that's what he's going to say. Well, it's Monday and I'm in an affirming mood. So how about this? I'll return your high five. Well, I'm nursing a bad head cold, so a fist bump is safer for your health. But all I should really be giving you is half a fist bump. Why? Because you're absolutely right to say that God's answer for sin is Jesus Christ. But if you think the first time that God does anything about sin is when Jesus enters the world as a man, you're wrong. God takes action against sin long before that. As we're going to learn, Jesus Christ is the perfect and final solution to sin. There's no doubt about that. This is why the New Testament, beginning with the Gospels like John, is so important to us. Because in the New Testament, we meet Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in human flesh, and the way to live at peace with God. But the people of the Old Testament, the people of the whole world up until the time of Christ's death and resurrection also had the option to have their sins forgiven by God and to die and to go to live forever with God in heaven. Their only option at the time of physical death was not hell. But how? They lived before the time of Christ's death on behalf of their sin. So how is it not possible that all of them, including Adam and Eve and their first family, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and the remaining generations did not all go to hell, but some to heaven? My friends, the reason some, not all, some of the people in the Old Testament and between the Testaments who lived before Christ physically died for sin went to live with Holy God in heaven, the reason those people will be with us believers one day in the new heavens and in the new earth is because of, listen for it now, the lamb. Yes, a little lamb animal, and most significantly, what the lamb represents. This is why it is valuable to know what John the Baptist means when he says, "Behold, Jesus is the Lamb of God." L-A-M-B, Lamb. And my task this week is to explain this to you. And I will get started tomorrow. To do this, we're going on a little tour of the Old Testament. So if you are able to have your Bible with you as you listen to the broadcast, please do so. I think you'll find that helps. If you're not able, I'll post each passage on the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages of God Is so that you can get them there and read them later on, or you can email me and just ask for them. Everything in the Bible makes sense. Both testaments fit together exactly as God intended, but sometimes we have to go on a little journey down this path and that before we can pull back and see how we can make sense of the entire map. So I invite you to invite a friend to join with you tomorrow and come and join us as together we continue to explore the meaning of Lamb of God. You know, as we start a new week together, this would be an excellent time for you to invite new friends along. Don't be shy. Friends, family, colleagues, even a stranger who you might have a conversation with to tune in. All of your friends need to hear this. All of New England needs desperately to hear the truth of God from the Word of God. And so please come along and join me right back here tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is.